I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beacon Podcast is here.
It's been a while. Thank you for downloading. We love having you back. We're going to be blowing your minds.
Yes. Welcome. And welcome, YouTube watchers.
Hey, everybody. I'm a little insecure about this, bro. I'm not photogenic.
If that's not your good side, then we can totally switch up our routine.
I don't have a good side, Holmes. It's all good. Cheers, kids.
Ah, that's nice. So let me turn the cart down.
So what do you got for us today, Mr. Matt?
Well, for those of you listening at home, if you're just used to listening on iTunes or you've just been listening to the podcast, thank you so much. We've got a great show planned for you today, but this is kind of a cool moment for me and Nick because this is our first episode where we're actually recording video in the Stew studio.
Welcome.
And we've just started our own YouTube channel. So if you guys go out there onto the internet and onto YouTube, look up the internet. Beacon Podcast and you will find our channel. Please subscribe, comment, whatever you guys want. But we're going to start recording these shows and we're going to be broadcasting them live. So we hope you guys like them. This is the Beacon Podcast, and if this is the first time that you
singing out, I can't hear you as good. Sorry, man.
Sure, buddy. Completely out or way
yeah,
in the
like back? There, yeah. I can't really hear you good. Sorry.
Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah, that'd be good. Sorry, Chester Pennington, but
if this is your first time listening to the Beacon Podcast, this is the quest to end douchebaggery. And by douchebaggery, we mean narcissism, selfishness. We think that those days are coming to a close, and we're going to try to help bring that about.
I think more laws is douchebaggery.
For sure.
Just useless laws. In the land of the free, we need more fucking laws and more regulations.
Yeah. You know what I thought about the other day was, what was it? Instead of land of the free, home of the brave, it was... If we are not brave, we won't be free.
Ooh.
Because we're really not right now because we've kind of... Some could argue that liberty has made us soft. Some have argued that.
I see that. Like, you have it so good for so long.
For sure.
You lose sight of what it took to be the greatest country on the planet.
Like, we act like the spoiled kids. Sorry, what I'm doing right now is now I got to change over, like, different Wi-Fis because I got the GoPros hooked up under one Wi-Fi. We've got our new setup here, which is our Apple TV, and this is set up under a different Wi-Fi. So, anyways.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot. Since our last episode, we've got about twice as much technology going on right now. So, if I sound a little distracted...
And
I apologize.
I didn't really come up with computers as a kid, and like, dude, I suck at computers and stuff.
Really?
You know, little kids, my little cousins are like 7 years old. They could show me stuff on the iPad and knock it all out, and I'm just like, I still type like this, you know?
Yeah, you pecker. Single finger it.
I'm getting a little better because
double finger it.
Yeah. Excuse me, but I'm getting a little better because I have to do more emails at work and shit, and you know, you can't do anything without a computer anymore.
No.
Or fucking emailing 500 people and getting approval.
I mean, you could if you were on an island somewhere, you know, in very low technology, like a tribal island somewhere. But no, any mainland country, you're pretty screwed. I mean, there are probably even spots in America in the wilderness where you could probably have a life where you're, you know, not plugged into the system. Yeah. But it's rare.
It's funny because we just were talking about how much we love this technology. We're able to get all this information out, do crazy shit. I mean, the GoPro is amazing. These iPads, everything's amazing. Like, but technology has simultaneously made our lives simpler and more of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You ever have a problem with your phone? It's like, what? Or your computer breaks down and everything's a pain in the ass all of a sudden. You know?
Yep. You know, it's
we
like
forgot like how we used to do things. It's
for sure
not a big deal.
Those Hindu guys would say that like there's always a balance that finds its way. Uh-huh. And like that's kind of true if you think about it. Like with technology, for what it brought that's good, on the backside of it, it brought bad, you know? Like, I think I said this on previous episodes, but the technology can also, it can act as a freeing mechanism, but on the backside of it, it also equally acts as an enslaving mechanism, you know? It's like there's, it's like nothing ever changes that much, you know? I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. The ability for humans to communicate, though, I think is an absolute, like, that is a bullet point in the timeline of human history. The second, like, what that was, that mid-90s to late 90s when the internet really started coming about.
Yeah.
Right there is, like, probably one of the most epic times in human history, and we're right now experiencing the infancy of it. And like right now, you and me, we're able to have this podcast, and we're able to integrate these different technologies into it and be able to broadcast it and broadcast our ideas, our research out there to anybody that really wants to see it. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean I'm just a dumbass construction worker, so it's like scary and exciting for me at the same time, you know, like
yeah.
Anybody in the world could hear this or now see it, and I'm putting it out there.
So what's scary about it to you?
You know, sometimes I say things that, like in the moment, you know, I'll be, or sometimes I drink too much on this show or whatever, and I'm going, God, I sound like a dumbass, you know, but, yeah. But it's just, a challenge now for myself to learn more, get more information, and
yeah. But I will say, if somebody is at a point where they're listening to this type of content, mm-hmm. I don't think they're the type of people that are that judgmental over that kind of stuff. One of the things that you kind of have to let go when you start getting into different ideas, either philosophical or political, is you got to kind of be willing to accept differing viewpoints than yeah, your own.
Absolutely.
And if somebody doesn't like, you know, drinking or having beers or whatever, that's fine. That's on them. But, you know, we do. We actually think this is a fun time for us to hang out. I don't see a whole lot of people judging that aspect of the show. And if they do, it's a free country, and they can always change channels. They can always go visit something else. But that's they're only going to get awesome info here.
Well, that's what we're shooting for. That's our goal, you know, to promote freedom, to let people realize, hey, you don't have to just be a drone that just takes in this media information that's been washed over how many times, like, yeah, before you get the truth.
Right. So this is something that's actually, like last week you were telling me, this is something that's actually been kind of weighing heavy on you, is now you're kind of like, dude, I'm like seeing these people and they're just like idiots, and it's kind of like weighing on me. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, like, when I talk to people at work, and I try to avoid political conversations at work, which you shouldn't have to. I mean, it shouldn't always be, don't talk about religion or politics. It gets so weird. It should just be, we're just having a communication, a regular conversation. It should never be angry.
Is that sort of stifling of freedom of speech?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say transvestite. You got to say transgendered. I hate the, you know, vocabulary police. You know, like, don't watch what you say. Watch what you say.
And I'm almost now to the point where I'm like, tell me not to do something, and I will for sure do it.
Yeah, why are we like that? Man?
Why are we rebels? Or
I don't consider myself a rebel. I just want to. We don't mean bad on anybody.
I just
you know?
Don't like being told what to do. If I'm not doing anything wrong, I hate to be confined. I cherish freedom more than anything. Mm-hmm. And the second anybody, even if it's on a small scale, tries to enslave me, even if it's say, like, don't say that. You know what? You can bring up your point if it's offensive or whatever, but it's still my choice of what breath comes out of my mouth.
And it's not my intention to hurt anybody's feelings, you know. I don't want to make jokes about people who, you know, we've all have hard lives and struggles in our lives, and some have a lot more than we do. But I don't see why calling somebody a midget is that bad. Yeah. Or, you know, Bruce Jenner wants to chop his dick off. I'm sorry, dude, you know, or not chop your dick off, whatever. We don't know. But we don't really give a fuck either way. It doesn't need to be shoved down our throats.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though, that I think is that just as I have freedom of speech, TMZ has freedom of speech. They can broadcast Bruce Jenner all day. That's their right.
Yeah.
I have the ability to go, I'm not going to entertain myself with it. And here's the beauty of free market capitalism. If everybody does that, all their sponsors are going to drop them. And they're going to go, we fucked up. We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know? And what I like, if I piss anybody off, I want to piss them off with the truth. I agree. I don't want to demean anybody. That's not what I'm trying to do. But what I do want to do is if the truth offends somebody and they live their life in a bubble and it has to do with lies, then I'm okay with pissing them off. I'm okay with that.
I think what bothers me the most is the increase in sensitivity. You know, why is everybody so fucking sensitive about just words?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine in 20 years from now going to a comedy show? It's going to be so bland that you can't go against the status quo anymore. And that's what I love about comedy is just slamming everything, you know?
Well, can I say what I really do think?
No, you can't.
I really think that as hopeless as it seems, that we're going to win this battle. And in 20 years from now, it won't be like that.
No, I don't think so. I think South Park's hitting the nail on the head right now. I don't know if you're watching the season of South Park. But they are slamming the PC movement right now.
Yeah.
And one of the things is like, oh, great. You know, we're going to come back and they're going to be PC again.
How PC, long? You mean political correctness.
Yeah. On the new season of South Park, they get this new principal and they call him PC principal. And he's like this frat guy and all they talk about is PC problems and this and that, and you can't say this, you can't say that. And it's funny because they do a cut to the farmers, these old farmers, and like, how long you think this is going to last? Oh, couple years, like last time. Because people just buy into it because they don't want to be the bad guy, if you want to call it that.
They want to fit in.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, you're right, we better not say that.
That's
but
what it is.
Most of us are just like, we're just talking like normal people, you know?
Yeah. No, humans behave like a flock of birds behave. And when the front guy takes a turn, they all go, because none of them, I mean, we behave the same way. That's how sheep behave.
Yeah.
It's the same, it's inside of us to do that. But
the flock
sheep
mentality, yeah.
Let's say the sheep
and
or the herd.
It.
A herd.
Yeah. Herd, yeah.
Let's say that. They don't really realize that if they're being directed a certain way, they do it out of a safety mechanism, but they don't realize that in modern ranching, a lot of times that leads them into the slaughter bin.
Oh, absolutely.
And so this is why I think it's a healthy mindset to have to where the crowd is going. I think about it and I go, why are they doing this? And are they being led to the slaughter, or are they being led somewhere? And so I try to take all the information in, and I think that with these movements, they are kind of being they're being dumbified. They're I don't think it's benevolent what's happening to them. I think that there is an agenda, and they're being dumbed down. There's The Dumbing Down of America is a book by Charlotte Iserbeet, and she has YouTube videos where she goes into it also. But she was in the Department of Education for the Reagan administration, and she's coming out publicly now, and she's saying they're straight up dumbing down the school system on purpose.
It's so obvious.
So that kind of stuff is kind of like, and when you start getting into the research, you start going, oh yeah, okay, there's definitely the crowd is being now led like flocks of sheep. And so to break free of that right now, I think, is a very healthy thing. And that's what the Beacon podcast is setting out to do.
What's your opinion on like teachers' unions? Because I don't think they're helping at all. Like, I used to be like a pretty pro-union guy, but now I feel like I'm Farva from Super Troopers. I'm not really a pro-union guy. You know, it's just, I don't see them being productive anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I used to be like, hey, this is a good thing, you know?
But I didn't realize before because I was
free market,
educated.
You're not going to work for less money anyway.
Yeah. So,
like, a minimum wage is kind of stupid. In the free market would level itself out anyway.
The main slogan of socialism is workers of the world unite, right? And we've gone into the teachings of socialism. If you guys haven't listened to some of our previous episodes, especially the socialist utopian delusion, please listen to that one. We go all into the theories that led to the socialist ideology, and in that, it's basically that belief system that the workers, the working class, which they call the proletariat, that they, once they realize that they've been exploited, they can band together for power and then overcome their exploiters, which they called the bourgeoisie, which was the landowners.
Yeah.
But is that not the same thing? That's unionization is essentially socialism. It really is. Bernie Sanders, who we're going to get into on this show, he is a self-proclaimed socialist. But his one of his platforms is obviously socialism, but it's bringing, if you hear the way he talks, it's bringing the workers together. And if you look at his funding, where his funding comes from, his funding is mostly from unions, because unions like him. And I don't know. Does that answer your question a little bit? Like in terms,
yeah, you went
of,
a little farther. I was going to go back to the stupefaction of America, like as far as teachers' unions. Some of the research I've seen is with your traditional public schooling. Once a teacher gets, it's called tenure. Like, you cannot be fired, and the unions are cool with that. It doesn't matter how bad of a teacher you are. You cannot teach a kid anything. And the curriculum's dumbed down. We know that, right? But
and the unions have fought for that, and so now there's this. They a lot of teachers can maybe base their job off of security, and they might not perform as well as they should. So they're not actually being paid. Some of them might not actually be being paid to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not right. You need to work. You need to produce to earn. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
You need to always work. You shouldn't ever be comfortable. Like with this podcast, I'm trying to always improve it. We're trying to like always do new research, trying to get more technologically savvy, even though, you know, it's tough sometimes. But, you know, there's the socialist right there.
he's gaining popularity big time, too. Because like you said, workers of the world unite. It sounds like a nice little frosting, you know, like, oh, that sounds nice, you know. A little bit of the verbiage that socialists use, it always kind of sounds good at first, you know.
These slogans,
hey, you're not going to have to work, you know, less work for you, more money. Sure. But it never works out that way.
No. No, never. No. Here's one thing that I had to realize is that socialism is the government taking what you won't earn, and then divvying that out to everybody as they seem, as they deem fit. And what they tell people is that the workers are in control of it because they get to vote for everything. But in reality, what that means is the government's in charge of everything. They take everything that you earn and they give you what they deem that you need. You know, it's not workers of the world unite.
Equality.
It's the exact opposite.
Equality, Matt.
Yeah. It's a total lie. Actually, this would be good to just go straight into the Bernie Sanders stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, but like the term equality gets thrown around, you know. What is your opinion on that? Like, life's not fair.
Yeah,
if you don't work hard, you're not going to have the nice house like your neighbor has or the guy on the hill has.
We're not all equal.
You get what you put out.
Some work harder than others.
Yeah.
Some take advantage of others hardworking, right? There's good people. There's bad people. We're not equal. I don't know. I mean, this isn't a Disney movie, you know? Like, I can't sugarcoat it. It's not, and it's never going to be. So you can't have a system that incentivizes mediocrity. Mm-hmm. You've got to have an incentive system that incentivizes production. Somebody that produces should get the bounty. They should get the reward. Because good for them. You know, they went out of their comfort zone. They worked hard. They need to be rewarded for that. And the people that don't do that, you know, I don't know if they should be punished, but they don't deserve the rewards. They don't deserve anything they didn't earn, is what I believe.
I'm with you.
We left off last week we were going into Bernie Sanders. I like that one.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the one to pop up because he had a quote and I didn't get to read it all.
Was it a Bernie Sanders?
But one? I mean, is he not like a millionaire? You got to be a millionaire to run for president.
Yeah.
And he's telling you less money is better. We shouldn't, you know, he's telling you greed is bad, but you're a multimillionaire. How'd you become a millionaire?
And how he's telling
us, if you think we should be taxed more, go ahead, bro. Pay all the fucking taxes you want.
Yeah. And he's telling us greed is bad. He's not saying that outright, but he's saying the millionaires and billionaires need to pay their fair share. Now, what's interesting is they pay way more taxes than we do. You know what I mean? So yeah. When he says fair share, he wants what's called a graduated income tax. And that is one of the planks in the Communist Manifesto.
Like the more you make, the more they take kind of thing?
Yeah. And the higher percentage that they take also. And the reason that's in the Communist Manifesto, the real reason why it's in the Communist Manifesto is because those that are producing the most tend to be smarter. They tend to be the more of a threat to the current power structure. And so those people need to get brought down to size and they need to be taxed. They can exploit that by telling the proletariat underclass, hey, let's go after these guys' money. Everything that you guys feel bad about yourselves for, it's not your fault. It's these guys' fault. They've been exploiting you. So even if these guys made all their money honestly,
if you invented the freaking GoPro and it takes off,
dude, everybody loves it. They bought it. You deserve a cut of it, right?
You sell a shitload of items, you're going to make bank. I don't know. Like, I think, what do you think about like a flat tax or?
Okay,
because I personally am not against being taxed, but the problem I'm having now is he's like, oh, the way we're going to fix these problems, we've got to raise the taxes.
Yeah.
More and more taxes, while more and more people go on welfare that don't get fucking taxed, and nothing gets better. Yeah, if you raise the taxes and things get better, okay. But they don't.
No.
Like our school system. Well, we just need more money. You know, kids aren't getting good grades. You know, they're coming out dumber than shit. And we just need more money and more teachers. And, you know, but it doesn't get better. We have the fucking lottery. We're out here in California. The California lottery is supposed to help the school system. Has it gotten better? I would say no.
Yeah.
This I don't play the lottery because I think it's fucking stupid.
Foundation of the libertarian philosophy and constitutionalists is that all of your rights are property rights. If you really think about it, all rights are property. So to simplify things, your right to self-preservation, Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms is for self-preservation, whether it be from a robber, the government, whatever reason you want to personally believe the Second Amendment was written. We're going to go into why it was really written on this show. But whatever reason right now you personally believe the Second Amendment was written, you have to agree that it was for self-preservation. Mm-hmm. Self-preservation means you own as property your body. Your body is your property. All rights stem from property rights. And the Founding Fathers wrote about this. They go in detail into that property is the base of all of our rights. So if that's true, then being taxed,
Well, that was the one I wanted to. Damn it! What did that?
Well, let me. I'm sorry, I missed it.
Okay, it was like as a majority of the majority of us need to be poor. I keep missing it.
It was a Bernie Sanders one.
Yeah, it was a Bernie Sanders direct quote.
Let me look. It might be. Are you on our Flickr?
I am not on Flickr.
Flicka, come on, man.
That's just what I do with my boogers, bro. Oh, there it is. A nation will not survive economically while so many are cut off.
I got you right here. It says, a nation will not survive morally or economically when so few have so much while so many have so little. Where's his proof? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He has no proof of that. That's just a statement. Actually, that's not necessarily true. There are people in tribes that are completely... I'm not saying we should be in tribes, but there are people in tribes that are completely happy with nothing. He says our nation will not survive morally or economically when so few have so much. Another thing that I have to...
When so few have so much...
Few have so much, while so many have so little. It's again, it goes back into what we were saying. It's the socialist argument,
mm-hmm.
the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie. It's the same thing as the Occupy movement. You know, the 99%ers and the 1%ers. We're getting socialism everywhere. When I say we're getting it everywhere, we are getting it everywhere. It's everywhere. A lot of your songs, a lot of your mainstream songs are socialist. I heard this one earlier this week. Robin Hood shows your socialist indoctrination because the quote of Robin Hood that we hear is, he steals from the rich and he gives to the poor, right? Mm. But that's not what he's doing. That's not what he ever did historically, right?
I don't think it's a real person, dude.
He took from the government because of unfair taxation and he gave it back to the people. That's different from stealing from the rich and give to the poor, where socialism is the government.
Well, you're probably poor because you were overtaxed.
If
you were taxed too much,
that was feudalism. Yeah. That was feudalism, right? They were not able to keep what they... And then you could make the argument that they didn't earn what
they... Yeah, we wouldn't be so poor if we didn't take half our fucking paycheck.
Because they were operating off of their landlord's land. But anyways, we're getting kind of carried away.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, man. I always throw us off the topic.
It's okay. I think it makes for a good conversation. What I think it answers a lot of people's questions, too. If I start going kind of too fast with a certain subject, then some of the questions... can help slow us down a little bit, and I can explain some of this stuff a little better.
Well, like you mentioned, incentivizing, you know, incentives. I don't feel like our federal government has any incentives. You know, it's more tax money, we got to raise more tax dollars, when they don't have to produce shit.
Oh, that's where I was going with that, yeah. Is I realized that the government... doesn't produce anything.
No, they just take from the producers.
They take.
You invent something, you work your ass off, and we'll just take half of the fucking profits, and thanks, we'll just be here, and we'll fuck society up for everybody.
Yeah. Do you remember that video of the lady saying, Obama's, it's an Obama phone or whatever.
She gets a free phone?
Yeah, it's like it became like a viral YouTube video. Obama phone, or the government's going to give me this and this. Well, the government can only give you what it took from somebody else.
Yeah.
That's, and so it's not like this fountain of treasury that just keeps bubbling up out of the ground. You, oh,
you
know
just
what I mean?
Plant a seed and you fucking water it and then pull your little iPhone off of the tree, dude.
You know what I mean? So
nobody paid for that, right?
Can we all please understand just that principle, that the any government can only give what it takes from somebody else? Because I think that's kind of an important point. So back to this Bernie Sanders thing. Last week we left off talking about, remember we talked, we got into like a 10-minute thing on federally purchasing cameras for the police officers. That was one of the things Bernie Sanders advocated.
And I got to be honest, I'm pretty cool with that one, though. Like,
yeah, and that's
with the police brutality in the past, I think if they have a film, you know, of what, I mean, what's more honest than just a videotape of what really happened? Because the cops could document the shit though any way they want. Like, oh, he came at me this way, you know, that's why I shot him, you know.
Yeah.
I think shootings by cops will go down with the body cameras.
Yeah, but so I'm not arguing against the body cameras, but the way he puts it, that he wants federally funded body cameras.
Oh, from the... Okay.
You know what I mean? So once they're federally funded, now the power goes to the feds.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, fuck that, because then the states can't have any control the way they want to run their own governments.
See, what I believe is local government is the best. And when you get... You've got your local government, like city, mm-hmm. then you've got county, then you've got state, then you've got federal.
Mm-hmm.
The federal wants to own everything, all the way down to the human being. And that's when you start to see tyrannies take over historically, tyrannical governments, you start to see a centralization of power, which is what's happening right now, is that the federal government wants to own everything. So you're going to see a major shift away from city, county, and state governments.
Yeah, because it starts with, hey, feds, we'll give you, you know, here's the feds talking. We'll give you cameras and MRAPs, and then next thing you know, you're going to do shit our way.
It's quid pro quo.
Yep.
The feds give you MRAPs, and then you always have to do... I guarantee those contracts always come with a hook. Always. It's never free. Never free. Nobody gets anything for free, for sure. Nick, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to get into our subject matter.
Right on.
Peace.
Time.
When yes. will the world listen to reason?
That was a special request by Nick. That was great.
I think that's my favorite song from The Offspring.
Yeah, that was good.
Taking it back to the 90s, homie.
Can you recall a specific lyric in there that you really...
When will the world listen to reason? I have a feeling it'll be a long time. Mm-hmm. Why is it going to take such a long time? Why can't we all want the same thing, do we not, as human beings?
Yeah, but it's because the world is... You ever seen how long it takes a cruise ship to turn around?
Titanic.
With a rudder? It just, you know, all we can hope in our lifetime is that we spread the truth to, you know, I don't know how many people, but that's not important. All that matters is the truth's getting out there and it's getting more popular. That's all that matters. Because once that happens, it's like a wildfire. Victor Hugo. So Ron Paul, you know Ron Paul. He made this quote from Victor Hugo, who wrote, Les Miserables. But I love this quote. He said, no army can stop an idea whose time has come.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that, dude, because this is the time for liberty and freedom now. It has to happen because it's the truth. You can't contain it because people are always going to talk about it, and it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing our part in getting it out there, but I guarantee it's going to take over. Even though it seems like right now with the NSA and the National Reconnaissance Office and, you know, the CFR and the CIA and the Trilateral Commission and your roundtable groups and all these major money structures that are against liberty, it doesn't matter. You've got the little guy on the block. Liberty is becoming more and more powerful, and it's scaring the shit out of them. I'm seeing quotes now from you've got major CFR players like Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's coming out publicly when he's talking to the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's saying things like, there's a massive political awakening happening right now, and we don't know what to do about it. It's scaring the shit out of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, just talking about schools earlier, there's a big movement, like, in the libertarian field. Like, people just want to homeschool their kids. Like,
yep. Because they're done. They know what's going on now, or at least they're getting an inkling of it. And this is going to be the question of our lifetimes. A guarantee will be freedom or tyranny. Guaranteed.
I mean, I'm trying to use the same analogy as used before, but I don't think sheep is a good one. But like any species, if you're pushed at a certain point, it's going to fight back at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like you can't just push us into a corner
but
until
do
you
sheep?
Don't give it.
I mean, when I don't sheep think get sheep afraid, do. They freeze and they fall over. You know what I mean? Like, so there is a vulnerable point where people can get to where they're just useless.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we got to do is like snap them out of that. You don't ever want to get to that point. But I mean, you look at, I've seen like videos of like, not to be offensive to any group of people, but like girls at like a baseball game. And when the Jumbotron gets on them, they're all just like, taking like selfies.
Ugh.
And the whole thing. And then you go, okay, so if anything like really that real, I guess I don't want to be too judgmental, but man, you almost kind of go, are those going to be the types that if shit really kind of starts hitting the fan, they're just going to freeze up like a sheep and fall over? Are they going to depend on others' strength for them?
It's funny you brought that up because I know you don't like sports that much. So, but that was a, came on the selfie thing. God damn, what game was it? But I forget what sports announcer it was, but they scanned the audience and all that, and it was all these chicks the whole time, not even watching the game. Like, why the fuck go to a baseball game and just sit there and take pictures of yourself?
And I'll bet they're like, at the game, love it. But, and it's so for them, they're trying to court a male, and they're trying to go, hey, we like going to games. We're down to earth girls. And you go, yeah, right.
No, but one of the announcers, you know, he's an older guy, he goes, do you, like, he's literally asking this question honestly. He goes, so is it normal to make your face look that stupid when you take a picture? Is that what this part of the selfie is? Is making a funny face and taking a picture of it? Like, he didn't understand.
Where did that originate from?
The duck face. The fucking... Why do you got... Every chick's got to stick her lips out.
I believe it's from... for some reason, girls believe that, like, big lips are, like, a sign of a attractiveness.
Part of me wants to think, you know, I hope I'm right. It's like they're produced, like, you know, in the animal kingdom, the female projects, like, I'm ready to fuck.
I think so. I think over, when, like, somebody's horny, hey, I think blood flows to certain areas, and I think the lips is one of them.
And for the chicks, it's like they want to feel sexy, and to project that, it's, I'm ready to suck some dick. You know? And that's what they're doing. Like, and dudes are going to be like, nice selfie, babe. Yeah, look at those lips ready to
duck face, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, though, I kind of go, like, back into that sheeple, and I hate using that term, sheeple, like you, but it's like, I don't know. I've kind of surrounded myself now around people that are really, like, independent thinkers. They don't allow the crowd to really influence a lot of what they do, and they can back up a lot of their arguments, you know, with, like, reason. And I just prefer the company of those type of people now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned narcissism in the beginning of the show, and if you have a high self-esteem, good for you. I'm jealous of you. I wish I was so fucking proud of myself. I could sit there and take pictures of myself. But I don't think I'm that fucking important to put some Instagram shit. Anybody who follows me on Instagram knows what I look like. Yeah. I don't need fucking pictures of me everywhere, you know? But in the old days, it was like, you're there to enjoy a game. Baseball, you know? You spent... Most likely, they spent somebody spent, you know, $100 a ticket, or at least, to sit there, and you're gonna take pictures of yourself. Like, why can't we just enjoy ourselves in the moment where we're at? You know,
right?
Without the fucking selfie sticks and the stupid fucking lips and and why do we think anybody else cares what the fuck we're doing? I don't get it, but it's huge.
Yeah.
I got to follow people and like everything they fucking do, man. And it's just like, that sandwich looks great. That's
people
a great
do
sandwich.
End up liking it. And you know what? Ultimately, as long as they're not hurting anybody else, fine.
But it's strange
at
behavior.
At least on a podcast, we're able to kind of dive into it and go, like, why? Why are they doing
this? Well, I mean, we talked about it earlier. It's just the way we can communicate with each other. Like, you know, my brother lives on the other side of the country, and he could take a picture of, like, him going to some place, and it's like, oh, cool, you know, like, you gotta kind of, in a way, stay in touch with your family. Sure. I understand that part,
like,
of
epic,
you know,
shit is cool.
Facebook and Instagram, shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
And you're keeping in touch in a certain way without writing. And
you know, there's people that really appreciate being updated every 5 seconds of what somebody's
that
doing.
That part I think is cool, but it's just like the me aspect of it is so strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I really do. To each their own, and they're not hurting anybody, but I don't think I've ever liked one selfie of somebody. I don't think I've ever liked that. Oh, also, that brings me into, we never even talked about this. We'll get into this Bernie Sanders thing in a second, but.
Yeah, I mean, is there going to be a dislike? I like the idea of a dislike button.
Okay, so. We're going to go into our new setup here. Our new setup, we're able to take control of the studio.
Oh, jeez.
And what we're going to do here.
Hopefully, it comes out clear for you guys on YouTube. That's what we're going to be working on, getting this clear.
Yes.
In the future. But this is, like you said earlier, it's our first show.
Mm-hmm.
And
working the kinks out.
Exactly. We're going to polish it.
And better and better.
Every show always is going to be a little more polishing.
Mm-hmm. Just stay tuned. And then once we figure out how to do that, we'll probably have an updated show. We already had a show that was how to start your own podcast. We'll have another one where it's like how to simulcast or, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyways, we talked about our new YouTube channel, and we're really happy about that one. The next one is what I wanted to talk about. Facebook is going to have, instead of a like button, you will have a option. So this comes from Newsbeat, and it comes a couple of days ago, but it's liking on Facebook is about to get interesting with new reactions emoticons. Cool, huh? So apparently when you click and hold the like button, that thumbs up button, it'll actually give you a choice of a bunch of different emotions. And this came in response to Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook. He wanted to integrate an unlike button, but he didn't want to make things like too offensive.
Fuck that. That's what, dude.
But so
stop being offended, motherfuckers, you know?
Yes, I agree. So, but here's his solution was you could have a love, a laughing, I don't know what that is, orgasming.
Are you talking about the rosy cheek thing?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Like, just like,
yeah, you're right. That is like
contentedness.
That's like the happy guy getting blown or something.
I don't know. The other one is like surprised, maybe. One's sad and then one's angry. So here it says, Facebook says it's bringing in several emoticons you'll be able to use instead soon. Thumb fans, don't despair. That's not going anywhere. The new reactions will let users express love, laughter, happiness, shock, sadness, and anger. It works by hovering or long pressing the like button and selecting the relevant emoji that you want to put in your message. The status will then count how many likes, loves, angers, etc. that you've had.
Ooh, fish and chips.
It comes 3 weeks after Zuckerberg said that he was working on a dislike button. Okay, I talked about all that other stuff. So anyways, that's kind of an interesting thing, I thought. And then the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting is because I've always wondered this as well, but ISIS, whenever you see ISIS in the news, they're always driving these like new Toyota trucks, right?
Toyota Tacoma.
Right? They're always driving these, dude.
So, I can't afford a fucking Tacoma or a Tundra.
And they've got literally like a line. They've got an army of these things, right? So this article is, who's it by?
That was horrible.
It's by AJC.com.
So Toyota is funding ISIS?
Well, it's that the United States is questioning ISIS.
Dude, those are all brand new Toyotas.
The United States is questioning Toyota on the proliferation of Toyota trucks in ISIS, right?
Those are all brand new, dude.
Brand new. Now, those are ones those are ones that are not available here in America. Those are called the Helia.
Yeah, it looks like it's
close.
Canyon.
It's close to a Tacoma. So countless news videos and social media posts show Islamic State ISIS terrorists driving around in what appear to be new Toyota trucks. The U.S. has asked Toyota to explain how hundreds, if not thousands, of the ubiquitous white pickups ended up in enemy hands. ABC News says that the Toyota Hilux pickups, an overseas model similar to the Toyota Tacoma and the Toyota Land Cruisers, have become fixtures in videos of the ISIS campaign in Iraq, Syria, and Libya, with their truck beds loaded with heavy weapons and cabs jammed with terrorists. The videos must make for effective propaganda. Thousands of Americans and Europeans are trying to travel to the Middle East to join ISIS. I think it's like very sexy because they got these new trucks on the front line, right? Toyota says it does not know how ISIS obtained the vehicles, but is trying to assist the terror financing unit of the U.S. Treasury Department in its investigation. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that ISIS is stealing or capturing the Toyota trucks.
Shut the fuck up. Dude, I was going to make a joke about that. Like, oh, they just stole them. I knew they were going to... Fuck.
Check this out. It could be sarcastic. Check this out. After all, ISIS also drives Humvees, mine-resistant trucks, and other vehicles given to the U.S., trained Iraqi forces who tend to lose men, equipment, and cities whenever they fight. Videos released this summer show ISIS insurgents using former U.S. militarized vehicles to parade bodies of their enemies around. It is believed that 2,300 militarized Humvees were lost by Iraqi forces during one battle this year. It's not just trucks. The Iraqi military loses a lot of weapons too. Reuters reports, ISIS captured at least 40 M1A1 main battle tanks, 74,000 machine guns, and as many as 52 M198 howitzer mobile gun systems. A U.S. general says ISIS has captured thousands of American-supplied vehicles, so both sides travel in the same vehicles and use the same weapons. To destroy the tanks now being used by ISIS, the U.S. is sending the Iraq military 175 M1A1 Abrams main battle tanks, 55,000 rounds of main tank gun ammunition, $600 million in howitzers and trucks, $700 million worth of Hellfire missiles, and 2,000 AT-4 rockets. Will the new equipment be lost too? Maybe, but earlier this year, Congress approved spending $1.2 billion more to toughen up Iraqi forces. Maybe it isn't Toyota who needs to answer the difficult questions.
Wow, Toyota.
So, kind of interesting. I thought that was kind of interesting when you kind of think about it. How much resources this ISIS group has actually been able to get. We're going to do a show on ISIS and the origins of ISIS. That one is very enlightening. We're going to start doing these shows more often. How often do we say that? But
We always say that we go to a totally different topic to the next show.
No, but we also say we're going to be back next week. It'll be like a month.
Well, today's show was almost shut down because the power went out.
Yeah.
We were like
right
doing
before
some,
we were going to start.
Yeah, research, trying to get everything set up, and it was like, pew, power out, the whole block.
Yep.
So, at the time I was like, oh, well, let's go get some tacos and do more research.
Yep.
But, it was a bummer because we've been trying to get together to do these shows like crazy. Both of our schedules are nuts. But
that's the thing. Both of our schedules have just become nuts. But
hey, man, we got to have Magic Mike on the show, dude. What the hell?
For sure. Yeah, that would really enlighten things around here.
Okay, well, the thing I have a problem with is, some of the veterans I've spoken to who've been there will tell you they don't even have fucking plumbing out there. They shit in the fucking street. They shit in the dirt. But they have $500,000 worth of tanks, weapons, and brand new Toyota trucks.
Yep.
Where the fuck does that come from?
Oh, but okay, so that's also a point that I wanted to bring up.
They barely have water, and they don't even have a fucking plumbing system. They don't even have a sewer system out there.
And they're whooping us. Right? We can't win. We go in, we try to win, and we get whooped. And the Republicans will say, well, it's because we're not giving them the full thrust of our military might. Maybe, but regardless of what you say, they're beating us. Regardless. And regardless, these cavemen were able to beat in Afghanistan, they were able to beat the Russians off, who had a very sophisticated military. This is proof that just because you're a sophisticated military, occupations are they're almost impossible to win. So this is why when we end up saying, keep your guns, stay free, because we know we're going to win. There's no way any force on this earth can occupy America because it just won't work. Imagine the amount of fight that Iraq or Afghanistan has to be able to thwart off these major military forces versus us, who has, even my weapons are way crazier than, your average Afghani or your average Iraqi, right? I mean, if everybody here was armed to the teeth and knew the Constitution and just said, back off, government, no. They know they're going to lose. That's how powerful we are. Let me get into a little bit of this. I'm going to finish off Bernie Sanders.
All right.
So we were getting into...
Burn dog.
We were getting into... if you guys are just new to this talk, Bernie Sanders looks like he's a major contender for being president. It's probably between him and Hillary on who's going to be the nomination for the Democratic Party. Not that me and Nick buy into either party. We don't actually believe that the two parties are against each other. We think that they're two wings off the same bird. But
nothing changes.
Nothing ever changes. So if you own the same bird, you pretend that one thing's fighting and the other thing's fighting and they're going to fight each other. But either way, you win in the end, right? And so there are certain... And if you've listened to this podcast for long enough, you have to have... You already know that. But if you don't know that, please listen to our earlier podcast. Just keep listening to our podcast and go back in time and it'll all make sense. So this Bernie Sanders, he is a self-avowed socialist Democrat. I think he calls it a democratic socialist. But we're talking about some of the stuff from his own campaign that he advocates. And we left off last week that he wanted to federally fund body cameras for cops. So continuing, he wants to persecute police. The persecution of police officers who break the law by the Justice Department. Okay, no big deal. And you know what? We'll be able to skip ahead because this whole section is just him cracking down on cops. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, by doing the research, it means he wants to federally control cops. Our local police, he wants to assume federal control over.
Well, because it's easier to build a police state that way, I'd imagine.
For sure. You can't build a police state unless you've got control over all of it. The interesting
thing... And making cops driving down the street in MRAPs a normal thing.
Yeah. Now, the only good argument I've heard in response to that is I was listening to a podcast, and there was a constitutional sheriff that actually said that his department had been given one of those MRAPs, and he said the only time he ever plans on using it is if the feds come into his county and try taking constitutional freedoms away from people.
So thanks for the free weapon.
I'll use it against you, kind of thing.
Well, I mean, shit, we've probably paid for it in taxes 10 times over.
That's the only, but yeah, I mean, that's so
we'll
rare.
See if that happens.
Yeah, that it's so
it's
rare.
All talk until it happens, right?
Yeah. Okay, so Bernie Sanders, he also wants to end political violence. Wow, that sounds really sexy to me.
What is political violence?
So
Donald Trump calling someone ugly, like making fun of their face, or
let's see,
political violence.
He wants to make Election Day a federal holiday to increase voter turnout. Okay. Do we want more voters? And when I say that, this is going to be highly controversial. But here's the thing. Anybody right now that's too lazy to try to vote, I really don't want them voting.
Not only that, but not voting is your First Amendment right. Like,
yeah.
You're saying, I'm not happy with any of these motherfuckers.
Oh, and you'll see later on, he actually wants to require voting to of everybody.
Yeah, because the more stupid people you have, the more stupid votes you get.
Yeah. And right now, the stupid people aren't voting. Sorry to be just blunt. The stupid people aren't voting because they're lazy. So he wants a higher voter turnout. This is also why MTV has launched for the past few years the Get Out and Vote campaign with Kanye. Y'all just need to get out and vote. It's because...
Oh, because Kanye West told me to vote. You know, I wasn't going to vote, but...
But that dude's wise right there. And
yeah, he wears leather sweatpants. That's a guy I want
to
follow.
He's taught me what the country needs based off of his, you know, philosophical
insights. Because he's a fucking genius.
Yes.
Or so he says he is.
Yeah.
I personally haven't voted. Like, I'd like to follow stuff and vote on something I believe in, but the opportunity hasn't been there for me yet, you know? But I'd hope that people aren't voting because there aren't educating themselves. And so it's like, if you don't know what you're voting for, it's better off not voting for it.
I'd rather I'm not vote,
but if
to
you
tell
you
the truth.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're voting for, please don't. I think I did a Facebook post like that, and it was not popular. It said, please, if you don't know what you're voting for, please don't vote. Just don't vote.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking it up.
There's nothing wrong with that.
by just guessing or spinning the twister wheel. I like this because they had a sexy commercial. Please just don't even vote because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you're changing other people's lives possibly.
For sure, you are. You don't even, and all you think you're doing a good job, and you think you're fulfilling your societal role as a citizen in a free country, but you're fucking it up because you don't know what you're doing.
Well, like George Carlin had a famous quote about when people say, well, if you don't vote, you can't say shit. And that's the dumbest fucking quote anybody could say, because I do believe by not voting, you are using your First Amendment right to speak out and say, none of these candidates are good for me.
Now, you can also pencil in a candidate.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just you have crap to choose from. So you could also pencil in a candidate.
That's cool.
Like
that'll never happen, though.
D's Nuts was recently in polls, was like third up as far as the polls go for presidential nominees.
Come on, D's, where you at?
People are starting to understand, though, that they're given crap. We're given crap on the left hand, crap on the right hand. And now people are really starting to go, oh, this makes sense. This is all a controlled system right now. This is all controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so obvious when you see it. So my last favorite candidate that I saw was Ron Paul. And whether he was controlled or not, I know the dude through 30 years of, you know, being in Congress, he voted right with the Constitution every single time. You know, so I don't know if he's controlled. I don't really care. His actions speak louder than words. He voted along what the Constitution did. So I have to assume that if he became president, he would do what the Constitution said. And that literally, within one presidency, that would save the country. We have the ability as free people. Look at Germany. Hitler was able to, after World War I, Germany had such reparations put onto it. Fines. They had to pay all these types of fines after World War I because they were the fall guy for World War I. Hitler, through introducing a new currency system, rejuvenating the people, was able to absolutely rebuild one tiny country in Europe to where they almost took over the whole world just because of a good monetary system, of proper politics. All we need is a few years of a great president, and we're out of this rut. This rut, we're out of quick. But especially a good money system. Ron Paul, I mean, I thought he was solid.
Well, I mean, but if we went back to the gold standard now, the dollar is only going to be worth like pennies or like a fraction of pennies. Right,
you would have to introduce it. You would probably have to introduce it like in phases. And yes, because we are living at a level of debt, we would have to accept a certain amount of getting used to being where economically we're supposed to be. Economically, it's like if somebody owns a house and a car and all this extravagant stuff. When they only make, you know, $15,000 a year, to tell them, you know, you're going to have to get used to living at $15,000 a year. They're not going to like to hear that much, but you know, what do you want? Do you want to sugarcoat it or do you want to tell them the truth? You know, people at some point are going to have to hear the truth that you have to live within your means or else, you know, it can't last forever. There's just no way.
What a concept.
It just doesn't work, you know? And, you know, sorry, but those are one of the hard truths that people got to hear. But once you actually accept that, you have the ability to actually really grow.
Yeah, but if we live within our means, we can't get a big old 50-inch flat screen in every room.
You know what? When I say live within your means, it's not going to affect people that much. They think it's going to be horrible. It's not as bad as everybody thinks. So, let me get back into Bernie Sanders here.
Let's hear about
Delicious. Should we take a break, do you think? Yeah, let's give the people a little break.
We got some tunes?
Oh, yeah. So, Last one was Nick's choice. This one's my choice. We're going to go with Mr. MTV by Nothing More. This song's awesome. It's about materialism.
Sweet. I don't think I've heard of this band before.
We won't bow down to a corporate father. We won't bow down to a governmental father. We are individuals. And in the world of individual liberty, the individual is who holds the power, not the corporation, not the state. Okay? We're being fought. Now, this is where we're going to get into on the podcast. But you know how a lot of truthers out there like to blame a lot of their woes on one entity. They go, there's a new world order. There's an Illuminati. This is who we're fighting against. It's not like that. When you've done your research and you understand what's going on, there are several forces at work, powerful forces that are each trying to gain control. Okay. You guys are going to want to write this down probably, because this is where we get into some important shit. This is where we're going on the podcast. But you've got the first powerful group that you've got. You've got basically British Freemasonry, and this is also Zionism. This is the world's elite. This is the families that have been in charge of the countries for thousands of years, and that they believe that they have the divine right to rule. For some reason, they believe that God gave them the divine right to rule. So that's their statement. And the Queen of England says that you can take her family genealogy right back to the pharaohs of ancient Egypt. Okay?
Really?
Yes. And she says, and not just she, but it's just that bloodline says, I have the divine right to rule.
Divine, like a God-given right?
Yep. God gave this bloodline the right to rule. And they have most of the money in the world. Most of the money. They are not the most powerful group, though, according to my research. Probably the most powerful group is the group that is up and coming. And this is why we talk about it so much on this podcast. But it's French Freemasonry, which is different. The other one was English Freemasonry. They're two opposing factions. French Freemasonry is when you hear about the Illuminati. That was French Freemasonry. It was a group of Jesuit priests and bankers that met back in the 1700s, and they talked about how to overcome the power of the monarchy. The monarchy represented the dynastic bloodlines that I just talked about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But is Bernie Sanders part of this?
Yes. He's part of this.
The French guy.
Yep. He's not French. He's actually Jewish. And that goes into a whole other thing. We can't get into everything right now because there's so much information to go over for it to make sense. But French Freemasonry encompasses what it is nowadays is international socialism. So you hear me talk about international socialism? That's French Freemasonry. That's what the Illuminati was back in the day. And they've evolved through their schools, and you can trace it by reading books. You can trace this. You know, it's not something it's out there. It's in the public domain. Mm-hmm. And we definitely, Nick knows firsthand. He sees it. He's talked to me. He goes, I see the direct effect of socialism on my personal life every day. So there is that influence. You also have...
I see people being more comfortable with it.
Well, now...
Being told that you can't say certain words.
Tell me this. This and a lot of these
An attack
groups,
on masculinity.
A lot of these groups beta test their ideas. So they'll send Bernie Sanders out. He's a fall guy. He's not the mastermind behind socialism. He is a...
No, it's been around for 100 years.
He's a tester. And so they put him out there, and he is out there to test the waters to see if America is ready for socialism. And now he's able to do it, and he's able to get on mainstream media, on news, and he's able to absolutely get on, what is it, Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, and everybody's like... Yeah, this sounds like good ideas. Yeah, make them pay their fair share. Fuck yeah, da da da. And he's able to get these Marxist ideas. Marx was a Grand Orient Mason. Grand Orient Mason means French Freemasonry. Once you do the research, all the things start to tie in.
So these guys can't make brick oven pizzas. They're not that kind of Mason, right?
No. Mason means to build. And when it says they're building, they're building humanity. That's what they mean. when they say they're Masons. They're building people. They're building a people.
You always wondered why they call them Masons. That's.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because I just think about bricks and mortar. Yeah.
Now, they started off... Well, we're going to get into that. But that's months from now. Right now, that's when we start getting into the secret society tie-in to all this. But then the other major power that you have at work, just so people know, is the Catholic Church. Catholic Church is still a huge force in this all. That's why it dominated the media when the Pope visited. That's why it dominated the media. That everything that he said, everybody was all about his every word, right? Because there's 2 billion Catholics out there that still go, what this guy, he's Christ's vicar on earth. Whatever this guy says goes. He could tell people seriously, like, shave your head tomorrow. God said it. And everybody probably would.
That's, dude, that scares the shit out of me because you know me, I'm not a religious guy. I'm not a big fan of religion, but
it's a major player in world politics. It's a major player in what's going on.
It's fucking disgusting.
I agree. I agree.
Like the offering said, when will the world listen to reason? What the fuck? So, you got to be told by some guy in a fucking robe that thinks child molestation is okay?
Now, French Freemasonry's major claim to fame will be reason. Their major claim to fame is reason. So you've got your thinkers of the Enlightenment. Your major thinkers of the Enlightenment were Immanuel Kant, Hegel, and we talked on our socialist show about the Hegelian dialectic, Hegel and the Hegelian dialectic. These guys, this is where the age of reason kind of really started, and this is where our Constitution, the ideas behind the Constitution really kind of formed.
I think the thing died, bro.
Did it really?
It was flashing red.
It was. You're right.
But I don't know. This is
no, you're right. You did.
That's okay. Sorry. We're still recording.
Yeah, we're still recording. Yeah. Either way, we'll experiment with the video. If it died, then it died. And I will just taper off the video into another a picture or something.
No big deal.
Yeah, no biggie.
But so Hegelian dialectic.
Anyways, so your French Freemasonry is a lot of those thinkers. It's funny because, and it gets kind of complicated, but in your German Enlightenment and your 1700s, you get a split right there. And you get a split between British Freemasonry and French Freemasonry thinking. Where French Freemasonry tends to be kind of the more successful philosophies. British Freemasonry, remember, all these groups are powerful, and their goal is to dominate masses. And when their goal is to dominate masses, you have to understand their philosophies of what they're talking about. They get into the French Freemasonry is who came up with calculus first. So they had Leibniz. Leibniz came up with calculus far before, not far, but he came up with it before Sir Isaac Newton did. Sir Isaac Newton came along and plagiarized Leibniz's work.
Wow.
Because these two groups are in opposition. So what we hear in our schools is, you know, Sir Isaac Newton, he found out gravity because Apple hit him on the fucking face. We are taught such bullshit. We are taught such basic ass bullshit. You know what I mean? It's so funny. But the Beacon Podcast, we're going to take you guys through this essential history so you guys understand and you know how you've been played. Because the public's been played for fucking fools. He happened to get hit on the face by an apple. An apple historically is the symbol of what temptation is. Yeah, and that goes back into Adam, and it goes way deep. Sir Isaac Newton was the Grand Master of the Priory of Sion. The Priory of Sion is the major secret society that controlled English Freemasonry. And Leibniz was his counterpart. He was the Grand Master in the French lodges. And so each one, it gets complicated. Sorry I got off onto a thing.
No, that's cool.
But anyways, Bernie Sanders is... I just think we should get off Bernie Sanders already, dude.
Well, I want to understand this guy, though. Like, this is a presidential candidate.
Yeah, and he may become president. As far as from what I've been researching...
So, what I think is this guy could be the end of America, possibly, or no?
Yeah, this could be
I mean, we've already been teeing off for fucking year, you know.
This could be the culmination of this quote.
It may surprise you to learn that I was host to Mr. Khrushchev for a half day when he visited the United States as a state visitor. But according to President Eisenhower, Khrushchev had expressed a desire to learn something of American agriculture. And after seeing Russian agriculture, I can understand why. As we talked face to face, he indicated that my grandchildren would live under communism. After assuring him that I expected to do all in my power to assure that his and all other grandchildren will live under freedom, he arrogantly declared in substance, "You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright. But we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you finally wake up and find you already have communism. We won't have to fight you. We'll so weaken your economy until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands."
Yeah, that was Ezra Taft, and he was talking about his meeting with Khrushchev. And Khrushchev straight up told him, he's like, you arrogant Americans, you don't think that you will fall for communism. So we know how it works. We'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you find out that you have communism. And here's how it works. Anybody that's willing to take anything from the state is empowering the state a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to take anything from the state, you're empowering the state. I'll give you an example.
Well, that's already been made fashionable. And, you know, you can't judge people. Like, there's on Section 8, they're on welfare.
You can't? I can, because it's freedom of speech, and I got my own fucking podcast. I can do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Exactly. It's just like, you should be fucking ashamed of yourself that you're on welfare.
You've got two arms, two legs. Oh, you know what? I can't do it because the economy. Guess what? Me and Nick don't make a penny from this podcast, but we're doing something. And we're doing something important. We're not even asking for money for this. You know? Like, there's no excuse. There's no excuse.
So send your donations to beaconpodcast.com at Gmail.
I wouldn't PayPal. Even want any, to tell you the truth.
No, exactly.
I'm so happy just doing this service, what we're doing. I'm so happy.
I just don't like the agenda of, yeah, you're poor and you deserve more. And the guy who went out and worked his ass off and invented something, you know, or ate crackers for fucking 5 years while he designed some computer application.
It's hypnotization.
None of that gets talked about. It's just, dude, I'm telling you, I used to work at a fucking block yard, and sometimes dinner wasn't an option. Like, I'm telling, sorry, man. You live on your own, and you ain't eating tonight. I've been there.
And what's cool is we're not just making this up. Like,
yeah.
When we say that this is an agenda put forth by powerful groups, I can trace now, historically, how these ideas progressed into... Oh, we can actually manipulate the public. Edward Bernays and Walter Lippmann, they wrote books on how to manipulate the public into your way of thinking. It's now become a science, and you guys are falling for it. It's a science, and you guys are falling for it. So we're here as the Beacon Podcast to do a service to you, to snap you out of it. Snap you out of that, what you've been brainwashed into, and let you, you know what, don't believe us necessarily, but weigh the merits on their own and take the information you see on the news and investigate it, and then take the information you hear from us and investigate it, and you see for yourself what you think is true.
And tell us how much we suck. Tell us that we're wrong, you know?
Because you won't. You won't find it. You'll find that we're right. I've done a lot of homework. And but please, if you see something that we're saying that's incorrect, please hit us up. For sure. Sorry to interrupt you, Nick. But
yeah, no, you didn't interrupt. It's cool. But I wish there was more people pushing, if you just work hard, what America's all about. Yeah, your job sucks now, but if you do a good job or you get motivated, you'll get a better job. Because I personally have been there, man. Like, literally, like, I'd eat like a teaspoon of peanut butter. Like, at my old, you know, there was a time like my meal was chips from the vending machine at my old job. You know, mm-hmm. And there might not have been dinner. It's waiting for that next check. And I'm still I'm not claiming to be rich now, but all I've done is work harder to get to the next level all the time. And anybody could do that, you know,
for sure.
I mean, unless you're like paraplegic or whatever, I understand. But you know what?
Anybody that really wants it in America can go out and get
that's
it.
That's the fucking point, dude. And that's when I see Bernie Sanders talking about stupid shit about, you know, the rich. His quote about greed. America has a problem with greed. No, we don't.
No.
People don't risk their lives to come to America and fucking cross the border to make lives better for themselves. Is that greedy? Right. Fuck no. People are fucking fleeing from Mexico. They risk their lives.
And not just Mexico.
To America.
You've got socialist states like Czechoslovakia, Moldova, Albania, Lithuania. These everything in the Eastern Bloc that used to belong to the USSR, the Soviet Union, when they supposedly broke up. Those people are coming over here like crazy.
You're risking your life to come to America.
You know what they say when they
just
come
to have a roof over your head and a food on your fucking plate every night? Is that greedy?
Do you know what they say when they come here?
Fuck you, Bernie Sanders. That's not greedy.
Dude, they come here.
That's wanting what's best for you and your family, dude.
They come here and they say, we see the same things happening here that happened in Russia. And they go, it was so hellacious that we risked our lives to come here. They say this. I've heard a family say this. They say, we will do everything in our power to keep this country from turning into that. It's that bad. So this is why what we're doing is that important. And this is why you guys at home need to actually listen up and really take this information in. And if you think it's important, act on it. Please act on it, because it's the absolute truth.
Okay, like, once, this is a dumb example, but like, I'm a huge Adam Carolla fan. You know, I've listened to that guy since, you know, I was a kid. But I agree with a lot of stuff he says. He's famous for turning left on a red arrow. You know, coming to an intersection, and, you know, this light's green. Most intersections are green. When it's green and there's no red arrow, you just go and it's safe, right? Because you're fucking smart enough to know you have a driver's license.
I don't need to be told, like, don't go.
Oh, there's a car coming. Should I drive or not go?
Yeah.
But he's famous for saying, fuck that. Just drive through him. Yeah. You're not going to get a ticket. The cops aren't fucking watching intersections. They're standing at the bottom of hills when people are speeding because they go down a hill. That's our heroes of today. Are the people in the black and white cars who sit there at the bottom of a hill because, you know, you gain speed. Oh, you're going 55 and a 50. That's bad. We can't have that.
Yeah.
But anyways.
And that's revenue generation.
And I've always done this anyways. And my girlfriend gets pissed off when I do it. She's like, because she wants to follow the rules and shit. But do you think I sit at a red arrow when it's nobody coming? I can see the fucking curvature of the earth.
Till they put a camera up there. till old Uncle Sam puts a camera. No, but
they can't do that anymore because people were fighting it.
Yeah,
so the cameras are gone.
Yeah.
How many fucking times do you think I sit there through a fucking Red Arrow? Never. Fuck that. It's small acts of resistance that'll make you feel great. And I'm telling all of you guys, and I'll give Adam Carolla the credit because he's pushing more.
Instead of living in a box, you crack out of the box then, right?
But okay, the point I'm trying to make is you make that fucking left-hand turn on a Red Arrow, it is the best feeling ever. It's like, this is freedom. I'm not being told what to do by a fucking light. Are you kidding me?
And I'm not even know hurting fucking anybody else. I'm fine.
It could be 2 a.m. There's not a fucking car in sight.
Let's assign that to our listeners. Guys, we don't ever advocate breaking the law.
No, do it. Because you know what? If we all break the law, it's our own fucking law. What about natural law, Matt?
Well, there is that. That's the real law.
It's just fucking...
Natural law is the real law. And it's do unto others that you would have done unto you, right? You always treat other people like you want to be treated. And so that's it. So instead of sitting at an intersection going, when can I go? You go, you know what?
Waiting for two cycles.
I would appreciate...
Meanwhile, you're burning fucking fossil fuels, which they hate, but they're going to do it so you get more road funding and they can tax your fucking gas. I'm telling you. Don't ever sit at a fucking red light. If it's clear, you're smart enough to you watch out for the cops, the heroes, you know, that are protecting everybody. Because you went when it's safe. God forbid you fucking make a left turn when it's fucking safe at 2 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But well, I do it every fucking time. I've been doing it for years.
This is your way to fight the system.
No. This is one small act of resistance.
Yes.
Just to know you're free. It's the best fucking feeling,
and
dude.
I would be lying if I didn't say I didn't have my own acts of resistance that I do on a daily basis. I have the same.
How can they fucking tell us what to do when we all do it? If everybody wants to smoke weed, you can't make it illegal because we all fucking do it.
Well, at that point, you inundate the state, and that's always been the plight of the revolutionary, right? Here's the thing, though, that I would advocate because this is what the Beacon Podcast advocates.
Fuck it. Break the law. Overflood the system.
Not all of it, because that's advocating revolution. And we don't do that.
I want them to know that they work for us. That's what bothers me.
We do that. That's done through law.
I was talking to a guy the other day.
The Constitution is the law. So we obey the Constitution. And if it abides by the Constitution and you're able to do it, do it. But I sign on to the Constitution. I actually do appreciate law. What I don't actually advocate is just do whatever you think's right, because that's a lawless society.
When I'm sitting at an intersection and no cars are coming, I'm fucking going, dude. Okay. I got places to go.
Okay, but the Constitution says nothing about traffic. So that's not what I'm talking about right now.
I mean, this is a small level. But all I'm saying is that act of just making a left on a red arrow, I'm telling you, it feels so fucking good.
I know.
You got away with something.
Yeah.
And that didn't hurt anybody because there's millions of just regular intersections with no arrow telling you what to fucking
do. Well, stop signs are nice, right? Because stop signs are just...
Stop, make sure it's clear, and go. You just go on your own.
I'm cool with that.
Because you're fucking smart enough to know there's no cars coming.
And I personally appreciate that just because if I'm coming up to an intersection, I might not even see it unless I have a sign there. I might just whiz by the thing and hit somebody
and
or something.
T-boned or T-boned.
So I kind of appreciate the notice, you know. But then I have the opportunity to stop.
I think the point, like, that why I get so pissed off about it, it's not the fucking left red arrow. It's not. That's a fucking small thing. But what pisses me off is we got to deal with TSA dickheads and the fucking DMV. You know, government has disdain for us. There's no other way to fucking put it.
That is true. But
I don't feel like the government gives a fuck about us.
It's true. But what I am saying is there's this major difference between just going absolutely lawless and hating all government and all structure, and then recognizing constitutional government and constitutional structure. And it's absolutely different. One's anarchy and one is very much an organized society. Very much. Everybody has to do their own research and find out what they want. But I'll tell you what I advocate is back to a constitutional Republican government, and they have no say so on little things like that. It's not in the Constitution. The Constitution does not grant the government powers to do that kind of thing, to enforce that kind of thing that you're talking about. So it's not their power. So all we have to do really is just go back to the law, and we have to go, it's actually the law. It's not your responsibility to worry about if I run a red light or not. So back up.
When it's safe.
Now.
I look forward to the day when I run a red light and it's absolutely safe to do so, and a cop pulls me over. And I could tell him, thanks, hero. Thank you. I can't wait to go to court and talk about how much of a fucking hero you are. You're making the life of Americans so much better because I made a left turn when there wasn't a car in sight.
Now, these cops now are torn. They're torn between if their local sheriff is telling them what to do or if the federal government is telling them what to do. Now, their local sheriff, if they had a constitutional sheriff, he'd be like, don't even worry about it. It's cool, man. That kind of shit, we don't care about. When the federal government mandates that a local sheriff department do a certain thing, then they have to do it. And you know what? They say, and we know you're going to do it because we've given you all this free shit, and so you're going to obey us. That's that where that quid pro quo comes into play. So a local sheriff is worth his weight in gold right now for our freedom. If we ever find a local sheriff that obeys the Constitution, the community, please hug this guy. Support him, because this guy is the one that has the opportunity to resist federal tyranny.
And like we were saying earlier, if you do not have somebody who will support the Constitution,
get him out.
Be like, I will not vote for somebody, and make, you know, you could express your voice like we are here. We will not vote for somebody who does not support the Constitution, so you need to change your fucking views. Mm-hmm. You know?
Guys, the Constitution is still the law of the land. So I'm in the right. I am in the fraction of a percent of the people that is arguing my stance, but guess what? I'm actually the only one that's legally in the right. And it's amazing. It's amazing that we've degraded to this level, to where the people that obey the Constitution right now are the only ones that are actually obeying the law. That's the law. The Constitution is the law. It ain't big, but we got to obey it. And we're going to get into it on this show. We're going to start getting heavy into the Constitution, because I realize now that that's where we got to go with this, because people got to understand what their rights are or they have none. Nick, let me finish off Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Let's take a break real quick. We're at 9 minutes past our break time.
We have a break time now?
Yeah. Break time. No, we don't necessarily, but I'm giving them breaks in case they want
to. What the fuck did we start having a break time? Nobody tells us what to do.
Plus, it helps their attention.
We don't have a producer.
Attention span is about, 20, 30 minutes in your average adult person now. So let me show them. I'll give them your song. Offensive.
What song are we hearing?
We just got a short in the system.
I think it was my mic, dude. You know what? Damn it. I hope that's not coming through to the listeners.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Oh, that's better, right?
Yeah.
It was this cable right here. Hmm. It's getting weak.
Do we need a new XLR cable?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. We'll get
Dart one. Center, here we come.
We probably have one hooked up to that. That mic.
Right on. I will not touch that mic again. I'm sorry, listeners, for the buzz in your ear. I hope I didn't ruin your jog or your lawn mowing or your cubicle sitting or whatever you do when you listen to the Beacon Podcast. We appreciate that you And we hope that you're enjoying the show.
If you might not, do all sorts of things, but
I listen to podcasts. I mow the lawn. I walk the dogs. I'm always listening to podcasts.
I could be getting home from work. I could be putting the groceries away. I could
taking
be
a
in
dump.
The bathroom. Yep.
Dropping deuces.
I could be, but I'm always listening. I'm always learning. It's now learning is, I think now that the internet is starting to become so easy to access, I honestly think learning is going to be the thing that's in. So, guys.
I love audiobooks.
Oh, God. Dude, just knowledge.
Dude, I was just podcast, and, you know, and I used to always just be music. And now I'm just like, audiobooks, like, they're so addicting, man. So, but I still love podcasts.
Oh, maybe next week. It's tough, man. We have so many shows we got to do. But one of the shows I got to do is actually taking people step-by-step on how to download YouTube videos to their phone. That way, because there's so much shit on YouTube that people don't want to walk around and stream the information. But if they had it saved to their phone, then it'd be no problem.
Later.
They could do it at the gym. They could do it, and they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because when you first said that, I thought, I just have a button I push on my fucking YouTube.
But if you leave my house, you don't want to watch a YouTube video, or it'll use up all your data.
Yeah.
So this shows you how to save it to your phone, so when you're driving around, you'd play it just like you play a podcast or whatever.
Okay, are we going to get back to why Bernie Sanders is a dick?
Yes, after this song.
Finish. All right, after the song. Why is Bernie Sanders a fucking useless dick?
Yes.
Thank you.
I can feel.
That was sick.
You like that song?
Yeah, that was sick.
I just, dude, I relate to that song big time, especially lately. It just works in a fucking dog, man.
I think a lot of people relate to that song.
But
right
what
now,
I like
man.
Is, I mean, I mean, I don't like that you gotta fucking bust your ass and kill yourself, essentially. I don't know what the point I was trying to make there, but that's just the middle class anthem in a way, you know? It's like, that's your average human. Just go work, barely watch TV, sleep, get back to it, back to the grind.
They become drones.
But
and all they want to do is sit on a couch and watch a little TV when they come home. And then they just can't now because the TV is feeding them a bunch of lies now. And it's the, you know, it's the way for powerful groups to just lie to people. And unfortunately, you know what? You can still sit on your couch. I'm not saying that. Just find good information. Get stream the podcast when you come home from work, you know? I'm a huge advocate of Bill Cooper. Stream Bill Cooper. Learn. Keep learning. Don't stop growing. Even though you're sitting on the couch, just you can still relax. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun. Your brain will be awakened. You'll be enlightened. All right, Nick. I'll finish off Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders would not be cool with a working class. Like I think of the working class, the middle class, you know? And I see that's depleting. Our middle
class
is depleting.
Kind of the goal is to deplete the middle middle class. The middle class is to be depleted. That is the socialist agenda. And if people don't see that it's at work, then they have been blinded because they don't know. It's the media doesn't ever talk about this, so you will not get the truth through the media. So you have to get the truth through people like us that are doing the right thing, that have done the research, that are putting the information out there. He says, re-enfranchise the prohibition of those with felony convictions from voting. That means if you have a felony conviction, you will be able to vote under him. He also wants to give an early voting option, make a no-fault absentee ballots available to all. So he really wants people to vote, like we were talking about. Requiring all over 18 to be registered to vote automatically. He wants to increase the amount of polling places. So it's quite obvious in his whole scheme of ending political violence, that's what it is. He wants everybody to vote.
In
socialism.
What is political violence again?
That's it. He just wants everybody to vote. So for some reason, he's equating political violence to they're keeping you from voting. The bourgeoisie is keeping you from voting. It's just propaganda. So now he goes into a different type of violence. He calls it legal violence. He wants to ban prisons for profit. He wants to eliminate mandatory minimums in the drug war. Well, I'd like to abolish the drug war altogether.
Yeah, because it's so successful.
Yeah.
It's been around since 79, right? 77?
Depends. There's been different phases. Different presidents have introduced different phases of it. Reagan introduced a phase. Nixon introduced a phase. Bush introduced a phase. They've heightened their phases of it.
It's so successful. Do we still not have coke and heroin and crack in this country?
I think it's one of the worst things in the country. But that's the drug war episode.
We'll be back on that one.
We have a lot to go over on that one. The drug courts and medical and mental health interventions will be for substance abusers. That's a socialist thing. I don't mind the help for substance abusers, but it's not the government's power. It's not in the Constitution for them to have that power. So I would always vote against that. Even though that might help people, I believe charity would do the work of that anyways. And so as a constitutionalist, I would be against that. He would make investments in education and job training. Now he goes into a new type of violence, economic violence. He wants tuition-free schools. He wants...
colleges or...
equal pay for women.
And you know that's bullshit.
I actually did... once you started saying that so much, I did some research on it. It's worthy of us doing a whole show on.
On... so you think that across the board, women make less than a man on every job?
No.
Absolutely not.
And the show will actually be the fallacies that have been used and the truth behind that argument that they use.
I am not on board with this one. Do you know why women don't come up to the same career goals? Like, you know, there's more CEOs that are men. Because if a woman gets pregnant, she can't be there all the time at a fucking job.
Yeah.
You got to raise a kid, right? So, meanwhile, while you're out there getting, you know, raising your kid, which is fine, which is awesome, dudes are doing the work.
For sure.
And putting in that work and promoting.
Yeah, and that's part of the disparity that goes into the economics there. And so, it's not as easy as what they say, like women
it's
make
such
74
fucking bullshit.
Cents on the dollar.
No, they don't.
It's
they don't.
Not that.
That is an absolute lie. If
we will get into that on another show,
yes,
for sure. But
so, but just
it's worthy of a whole other show.
I just want to take the chance to say, since you brought it up, don't listen to that fucking shit. There's no fucking way.
But
there's
do you
not
see
a,
how he plays off of this?
There's not a minimum wage and a chick minimum wage, is there? There's not a dude minimum wage and a chick minimum wage. It doesn't exist. So then tell him to shut the fuck up. Right?
He's saying average.
It's bullshit. That whole fucking argument is stupid.
Well, you're right. It is bullshit. And,
if
and
me and a girl...
we will dive into that.
All right.
But that will be a whole show. Because it needs a whole show's worth of attention. It does. That subject alone needs a whole show's worth of attention. It's going to piss off a lot of people, but this is the Beacon Podcast, and what do you want? You want the truth, or do you want to go around being fed lies?
If a 20-year-old guy and a 20-year-old girl go into McDonald's to get a job, they both get hired. They don't automatically pay the girl less. It's the same fucking minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Flip the fucking burgers, mop the fucking floors. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a bullshit argument. I fucking hate that, the whole thing.
I agree. And I agree now, especially now that I've done the research. So I agree with you on that.
You know what? If it is true, if women do make less, well, guess what? You live longer than us. So that's what you fucking get.
And left-handed people live shorter than right-handed people. So maybe they should hate
so
each
I'm
other.
So I'm fucked.
Too.
I'm a lefty and I'm a guy.
Okay, another one he wants to do. Bernie Sanders wants to prevent employer discrimination on criminal history. He doesn't think that criminal history has anything to do with your present ability to work.
Yeah, fuck right. Who cares if you rape and murder people?
Right.
You could work at this church. Well, that would make sense. You could work at a church.
He wants to ensure access to quality, affordable child care for working families. Again, never part in the Constitution of the federal responsibility. And I would put a little addition onto that. Do you really want the federal government in charge of your kids 4 hours a day? Telling them what to believe?
I'm sorry, but if you cannot feed your fucking kids, if you don't have the money to fucking raise a family, how about you don't have a fucking kid? Where the fuck is...
Now, let's say you've already had a kid and you're in that situation, because we got to be fair. You know? But...
I can't afford to have kids. Guess what? I don't have fucking kids because I can't afford fucking kids, dude.
But now it's not the state's responsibility. It's not everybody's responsibility to take care of your kid.
Congratulations. You're a dumbass that got knocked up.
Not necessarily
or knocked a
even
chick up.
A dumbass.
You knocked this chick up.
You
well, welcome,
actually,
to,
like,
welcome
meant-
to poverty then. And work yourself out of it. What the fuck? It's America. It's the land of the free. People fucking risk their lives to come here to work and live in a fucking horrible position.
Well, you end
conditions.
Up paying for it. You've got to pay for health care. You've got to do this stuff, you know? I mean, it's tough. And the thing that really sucks about it is that the Federal Reserve has made it very tough to exist on just your average salary. We're back in the days of like when the founders first came to this country, you know, a female could actually work and support a household. You know, like, you just can't do that. It's just tough nowadays.
Well, the days of the middle class when a guy could just work a regular job and raise a family, and, you know, the wife could stay home if she chose, mm-hmm. and raise a family. Yeah. Was the family element not better then?
Oh, it was. And for the feminists that think that those were just lame women, we're going to do a whole show on the feminist movement during the time when this country was created. And there was a major liberty movement on the on the women's side. They would hold meetings and they would go, "This is it." And they even dogged the members of the Boston Tea Party, and they said those cowards had to hide behind Indian masks. We're out here putting our names and everything right up in front of the king's face. So the chicks at the turn of this country had balls, and those, if you want anybody
the
to
chicks
be
had balls,
dude. If you want,
I'm sure they appreciate that one. Yeah.
Sure. If you want anybody to be an advocate for feminine rights, you look to those women. Don't look to Lady Gaga or people that are spreading their genitalia out there
genitalia.
As feminine rights. That's not feminine rights. That's snake skin. That's luring men through obverse means. You guys are being hypnotized by them too, you know? Beacon Podcast is going to bring you guys the truth of the matter. We're going to continue with Bernie Sanders. He wants to provide a living wage to all Americans. In that, he wants to give everybody $15 an hour minimum wage. He wants to strengthen the role of unions and, quote-unquote, a group called Voices of the Working People. He wants to establish real family values by enacting the Family Act, in which he wants to require employers to pay into insurance program that guarantees employees 12 weeks of paid vacation, paid family and medical leave.
And where does this money come from?
And he also wants to give 10 days of paid vacation and 7 days of paid sick time. You know where this comes from? The public pool.
Yeah. Your tax dollars.
It acts as an insurance system. Yeah. That's what it acts off of. So he wants to guarantee all this stuff based off of the public pool. Because he's done his math, and he knows only a certain amount of people are going to take advantage of the system, and only a certain amount of people are going to work more. And he's able to promise people 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave. Now, that's lifetime. That's in your life. You ever seen that movie where you had the little clock on your arm? And when your time ran out, I think the movie was with Justin Timberlake. And when the time ran out, you were done. Mm-hmm. You ended up dying. It's kind of like that. You have 12 weeks of paid family leave now in this social system. And when you're done with it, you know what I mean? Like, it's scary, but the government controls how much time you take.
I love how politicians can just say, well, I just want, you know, everyone can just live great no matter what. You're just going to have this lifestyle.
They're so full of shit.
And hey, every day when you wake up, instead of an alarm clock, you'll be getting sucked off.
Yep. That's actually his next campaign promise, is that every morning when you wake up. No, I'm kidding.
No, but like, as a politician, I could say stupid, crazy shit like that. Like, everybody will be woken up with an orgasm every day of your life.
Yep.
And then once the sun rises, you have a chef prepare you the best breakfast you've ever had every day. Every day.
Blow you with fans.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
And feed you grapes.
So you're gonna wake up to some awesome oral, porn star oil.
Damn, that sounds awesome. Where do I sign up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds great.
This is what I want for America. I want everyone to wake up to a blowjob.
Yet, remember what I said earlier. The government cannot give you anything it did not take from somebody else.
That's the point I'm trying to make, is, but they'll never say where it's going to come from.
Yep. He continues. The climate... He wants to change climate change and the environment. He wants to tax carbon and methane emissions. Okay. Well, then he's that means he's got to tax you as a person because guess how you breathe? Carbon dioxide. You have carbon and what do you fart? Methane.
What?
So he's going to tax your carbon and methane emissions. Come on. Are we that fucking dumb? He wants to. He opposes the Keystone XL pipeline. I actually oppose it, but for different reasons than him. I oppose it for constitutional reasons. He opposes it because he belongs to the French Freemasonry group, and the Keystone XL belongs to the British Freemasonry group. That's just the truth of the matter. Might get killed tonight in my sleep for saying something like that, but that's the truth of it. He wants to allocate $3.2 billion to fund upgrades in 86,000 buildings to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. 9,500 solar energy systems. Again, this is just socialism, and these systems, first of all, constitutionally, it's not the government's job to do this. Second of all, it's not going to help. Trust me. So the last part of his section, he wants to reform Wall Street. So where he says he has a act that's called, quote unquote, too big to fail, too big to exist act. So if you're too big to fail, you're too big to exist. That's him attacking the capitalist system, those banks, those structures. A lot of people now, because he is attacking those banks, believe this system. Now, again, you have to know that there's a English Freemasonry system versus a French Freemasonry system. You have to know that these groups are attacking each other, and they're vying for power. But it doesn't mean that any of them are right. And if you want a successful country, I strongly advocate the principles of the Constitution, because the Constitution set forth everything that's needed for a plant to grow. And the plant is a country. We stuck to it. For the years that we did stick to the Constitution, we blossomed into what we are now, really. Mm-hmm. That was the whole reason for the Industrial Revolution, is that America had the freedom to do what it did. And it led the world in technology. It's only recently giving that up, only because it's been stifled by government intrusion. So he wants to break up the big banks, and he wants to prohibit the big banks from using Federal Reserve's discount facilities or insured deposits for risky activities. So, again, he is kind of on the opposite side of the Federal Reserve system. To most people, that's why he's going to be very sexy in the years to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because this information about the Federal Reserve is going to get out there, and they're going to be lured into the communist trap. That's how this whole thing was designed. And to tell you the truth, I honestly think that both English and French Freemasonry are both, this is just me, I think both, I haven't been able to prove it with the research, but I think both are controlled by the same people. And I think that this is another dialectic, and they know that whatever the people choose out of capitalism versus socialism, the synthesis of those two ideologies will become the new world order. That's just what I believe. He wants to reinstate the Glass-Steagall provisions, which separated investment banks from holding banks. He wants a tax on high-speed trading and other forms of Wall Street speculation to provide debt-free college education. Now, he doesn't want to prohibit Wall Street from high-speed computer trading. He wants to take those extra funds and use them towards college education.
For who?
Kids.
People who don't work for it?
This is socialism. He wants to end the practice of paying big banks execs large bonuses to take senior-level government jobs. So he wants to actually build a wall in between the corporate world and the government world. Not a bad idea, but it's going to increase socialism. He wants to cap credit card interest rates at 15%. So then that basically means he wants to assume control of the money supply, and free market forces don't work anymore because now he's capping interest rates. Interest rates are supposed to be a product of the free market. And he wants to audit the Federal Reserve. I have mixed opinions.
Which we would probably agree with, but
I have mixed opinions on auditing the Federal Reserve. Just because it's a private bank, and as such, I think that they have the right to be private. And I don't.
Yeah, but any business could be audited.
And I don't think that that's right.
Why?
Well, because it's none of the government's business.
Well, if taxes are involved, I mean, you...
Taxes shouldn't be involved.
But cooking the books, like, if there's a way to find out who's cooking books...
Well, then what happens? So, let's just put ourselves into a libertarian community. And let's just say, you know, I own a corporation that has a bunch of farms. I have 100 farms. I have a huge corporation. I have 100 farms. Cool. None of the government's business. You would suggest some kind of regulation, like checking my books?
Well, no. I mean, not... So you're talking about having a farm or multiple farms, right? Mm-hmm. If you're paying taxes... At some point, I think...
I'm not paying tax. And we're talking about in a libertarian...
Society.
In a free market society.
Yeah, well, and you're not being taxed?
Nope.
No, I mean, whatever money you make is your own. Yeah.
And if I have employees, they get paid what they get paid. If they don't like it, they can leave. I'm not allowed to hurt them. That would be a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have shareholders... You know, they're interested in my balance sheets, but they could pay for private investigators to come in and investigate the company if they want. That's fine.
I don't know. When I think about auditing the Federal Reserve, I mean, I think of everything they fund. Like,
well, it's so tough to think about a world in which I advocate because we're so far away from that. But this is the world that the founders... imagined. And we've gotten so far away from that. No government, hardly any government. Hardly any. And at that, you've got state governments that are way more powerful than your federal government. The federal government is nothing. Hardly anything. Any state that just goes, fuck you, we're out. Then they're out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Civil War offered a precedent to where Abe Lincoln said, you guys are out? I'm going to conquer you guys. You're back in. And we've all learned that Abe Lincoln is a hero. Why? Why did we learn he's a hero? He's not no hero. He was trying to hold the union of states together. But a state, when they signed the Constitution, remember, a colony became a state when that colony signed or ratified the Constitution. It became a state. Now, what they thought a state was back in the day is they said Great Britain is a state. Germany is a state. France is a state. Spain is a state. Georgia is a state. New York is a state. When they said a state, they meant a country.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States was a union of these countries in order for mutual protection and benefit. But it didn't mean that there was a federal government that all the that just owned all of them. See, we've gotten so far away from our history that now we just think the United States government owns everything. And that's why I've said there is a federalization of everything, a centralization of power of everything, where power should be held on the most local level possible. If you want true freedom, you will have power held at the most local level possible. I honestly, I finished the Bernie Sanders. We'll get into Iran and TPP next week. But I'm so glad that we got through Bernie Sanders and we got to experiment with the video. But what are your thoughts?
It's just scary. Like, we're at a strange time in American history, I believe, where we could peak and go downhill, or we could plateau and just keep freedom and just regular business going as usual, you know? Like,
yeah.
I like the idea of America being the best country on earth. You could come here and you can have an opportunity and you could be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be left alone.
Sure.
Like, if I want to start a business or I want to invent something, it could either fail, which is, you know, is failure is an option.
Now,
in a lot of things.
If you want to be
you could come from some country where you shit in the fucking can every day and it goes nowhere. You live in the fucking dirt and risk your life to come to this country. But if you have the greatest, the newest light bulb or the best mousetrap, whatever the fuck you want to call it, you can succeed. You know?
Yep. That's
we haven't invented every invention that could be. You could make the next fucking Snuggie.
And you know what's
great? There's another corner you could turn and make $1 million at.
Is Nick, your brain has the capacity to dream.
And I think all humans do.
And all humans do, but
it's getting
in
pushed,
order for that capacity to be watered, because it's a seed. In order for that capacity to be watered, you need freedom.
Absolutely.
Because freedom is the water
slave,
that waters
fucked.
The seed. That's what I honestly, and you hate it when I say this stuff, that's what I think Jesus was saying. He says, I'm giving you water. He's giving you freedom.
Yeah. It's just, I think we're at a point right now, we could keep America great, or we could just be a fucking socialist, brain dead, ruin the fucking world.
Yep.
You know, be
and
nothing.
We're not even done. There's
and that will be the norm.
Much to this subject to where you guys' education is going to get awesome. You guys are going to learn so much about why America, why did our founding fathers even create a country that gave us this opportunity? It was called the Great Experiment. They were all secret society members. If you look, George Washington was a Freemason. Thomas Jefferson, Mason. Benjamin Franklin belonged to a few lodges in Europe. These guys knew. They were wise. They knew what they were talking about. And America was called the Great Experiment. Now, why it was the Great Experiment is this. They were experimenting to find the secret societies, the most powerful groups in the world, were experimenting to find out if humanity was able to rule itself or if humanity needed to be ruled. I think we should end it there.
Right on. Thank you for downloading the Beacon Podcast. We appreciate all the feedback that we get. You know, hit us up on Facebook at the Beacon Podcast or email us at beaconpodcast@gmail.com. We now have a YouTube channel, which we'll be working on. This one may not have been so successful. Our camera died in the middle of the show.
Yeah, but either way, we're working it out, and we will make a YouTube video out of this show. But Nick, I thank you again for coming, man. It's been great, and it's always a pleasure to have you around, dude. We got to do this we got to do it way more often.
You're damn right, man. I mean, we don't get a long time on this earth, so that's why I want us to be free and enjoy it while we can.
Yep. Couldn't say it any better. Peace out.
You see, what the alchemical managers have bred over a millennia is a human race of the most wretched stupidity and ignorance unrivaled in thousands of years. These blind slaves are told they are free and highly educated, and they believe it, even if they march behind signs that would cause any medieval peasant to run screaming away from them in panic-stricken terror. The symbols that modern man embraces with the naive trust of an infant would be tantamount to billboards reading, quote, "This way to your death and enslavement," end quote, to the understanding of a traditional peasant of antiquity. It was their world. They understood it perfectly.
What's the reason?
Masters ain't planning mad disaster and doom. The very moment you pop out of your mom's womb, you're a sovereign king ready to blossom and bloom. However, things change for the absolute worse when you're issued a live certificate of birth, and that number is given to you before you're dribbling. That's when you become a United States citizen. Slavery has been abolished, I know that you heard the news, but the 14th Amendment's voluntary servitude. Once you register your child, you make a major alteration. You are now employed by United States Corporation. The Constitution thereby becomes a fiction. You can't mention it in any statutory jurisdiction. They hoodwink masses of people something awful. Just cause something's legal doesn't mean that it is lawful. So when they open up their mouths, I tend to tune them out. I don't even pay attention when I see them speaking. Yeah, we gotta be the change. Rearrange the system and let freedom reign. From sea to sea, friend, it's a brand new season. No more living like a slave. I don't see them.